This is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN. It's our daily in-depth look at people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. Now, Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
Afternoon, and thanks for being with us for another Inside Douglas County program today. If you haven't noticed, we're doing all our interviews remotely right now with State Senator Dallas Hurd on the phone with us. Dallas, thanks for being on this afternoon.
Hey, thank you.
So let's talk about, we've got a lot of things, obviously, with being a legislator and with the COVID-19 situation. Of course, last week with the signing of federal legislation, potential for some of the folks, especially in the business community, those working to get some help here in getting through these tough times.
Yeah, it's a great topic to discuss today, Kyle. And thank you for the opportunity to be on here with you today. So I really have been pretty impressed, really, with what the federal government came up with. It really does seem to make a lot of logical business sense and overall economic health sense for not just the people that own and run these businesses that will be the recipients of these small business loans from the government, but it also, thank goodness, is really geared towards helping the folks that work at those businesses and the greater community that all that cash flow supports. Because like we talked about the last time I was on, economic health has to be maintained in order for our public health to be maintained. And so the way, I'm not going to get into a lot of details today on the loan itself and the programs, because I actually, what I want is I want folks listening, whether you're a business owner or someone that runs a charity with a payroll, basically anybody that has a payroll of any form, sole proprietorships, S-corps, C-corps, LLCs, which is a limited liability company, any form or fashion of payroll or entity that is functioning is going to be subject to being able to access some of these federal funds. And so just to give you a little bit of a taste of what we're talking about, if a company takes their 2019 payroll, meaning all the money that they spent, taxes, workers' comp insurance, certainly the wages for all of their staff that was on, under that company's payroll system, let's call it $200,000. And the federal government's program is set up this way. You take that $200,000 from last year's payroll, you divide it by 52 weeks, and then you take that number and times it by 8 weeks. Why do you do that? Because the program covers 8 weeks of your future payroll. And so you take that number times eight that you got, and then you take that number and divide, or times 2.5, and you're looking at about $77,000 of cash infusion to help get an individual company through the next several months as we weather this difficult storm of COVID-19. And the purpose for that is to pay rent, any kind of business-related mortgage for, like, say, the building that the business is housed in, but primarily to keep your employees fully paid, fully working. And so that all trickles down into people being able to pay their own mortgages and their own rent for their own homes, utility bills, groceries, healthcare expenses, travel to go to the grocery store, and so on and so forth. It's a critical element of helping us survive this storm. $349 billion was allocated out of the $2.2 trillion from that stimulus package to specifically small business employers, and that's 500 employees or less. There are some exemptions for larger employee workforces to still be able to qualify for that, but it's a big deal. And for those of us that are listening that have, you know, a very sound, idealistic vision of how the federal government should be running itself, and I would consider myself one of these people, we resent federal debt. You know, we all know, those of us in the business community in particular, we all know that this is not a sustainable model to continue to follow for the decades to come. At some point, we as a country are going to have to start paying down our debt rather than it just running away like a snowball ever rolling downhill. But the fact of the matter is, folks, this is not a handout. It's the equivalent of someone taking out a loan in your name across the street at the bank, and you have two options. You either go get the money that was taken out in your name, and you invest it to keep the ship going strong, not only yours, but the people that work for you, or you, in my opinion, do something foolish and you just let the person walk down the street and give it to someone else, but you will have to still pay it back. Federal debt is something we will all be tasked with paying back, young and old alike. So the way I've looked at it is, myself, my kids, their kids, their kids. We're all going to have to pay this back. So I do. It does me no good to not take advantage of the money while it's available. And so I'm reaching out to the community today because as I've been on the phone all week calling all the business contacts throughout the community from mini marts to, you know, large, multiple hundreds of employers across this county and across this district, at least 4 out of 5 people I'm talking to either weren't looking at going in and applying for these loans at all, or they were fundamentally opposed to them because it's federal debt and they don't want that blood on their hands. Well, the fact of the matter is we're in a tough economic situation right now. We're not driving this bus from the federal government to state government. We are subject to a lot of the stuff that's being handed down to us, and we can either do what we can to take the tools that are available to us so we can weather this storm, or we can allow ourselves to be subject to what could be a very cataclysmic economic collapse at some point. I feel that this buys us at least 3 to 4 months of a sound economic propping up right now if we all get out in front of this. So, like I said, there's only $349 billion. Now, that's a lot of money. If you take that number divided by 2 million, that's $175,000 per small business across 2 million companies across the country. But that money will get gobbled up first. So it's very much a first come, first serve kind of situation. So you need to be talking to your local banks. You need to be talking to your accountants. You need to be going online to the SBA, which is the Small Business Association. It's the federal agency that is actually handling the rulemaking process on handing out this money from the federal stimulus package. You need to go online and you need to be doing some deep dive research for yourself to understand what is available to you. Something I forgot to mention, as long as that money for that payroll protection that I referenced earlier is used for payroll purposes, the loan, which is what they consider it, is completely forgiven at the end of June. I'm going to repeat that. That $75,000 I referenced earlier for a small business with 3 or 4 employees that they would receive, not only is it not taxed, it is completely forgiven. That's why they're calling it a loan. So you get this infusion of cash from the federal debt loan that was taken out in the stimulus package. You spend it on payroll, rent, utilities, and mortgage, all related to your business, not your residence. And that money, if it is utilized for keeping your employees going and whatnot, keeping society going, will be completely forgiven at the end of the day. If there's some left over, you can choose to give it back, as I understand it, or it will be locked into a 3.75%, so just under 4% fixed interest loan for you to pay back over time if you want to keep the funds and use it, because that's a great interest rate. But the fact remains is that there is no sense, there is no logic, no matter what your values and ideals are, to not taking this money, because it is just like somebody getting my Social Security card or number, going across the street to a bank, taking a loan out in my name that I will have to pay back, and then just saying, no, go give the money to someone else. That doesn't make sense. If we don't take it, then somebody down in Southern California or on Wall Street will. And I'd prefer to have this community stay strong and hopefully somehow come out of this situation even stronger than we went into it. I know that seems unfathomable, but this program, this stimulus package, was structured so well, in my opinion, that if we here in Douglas County get out in front of this and get in line right now, meaning today, tomorrow, before this thing goes live, we could actually do a very good job of helping ourselves come out of this stronger than we went into it.
And this obviously is a very unprecedented situation, and the way that this stimulus was put together, as you mentioned, is very different than normal times mm-hmm. as well.
Yeah, you know, I ranted quite a bit the last time we talked, Kyle, on the radio about how upset I was, and I still am, about the bailouts for, you know, large airline companies and whatnot. And, you know, the whole too big to fail thing just really starts to bother me after a while, because companies can go bankrupt just like they historically always have before the 2008 financial crisis. And another company that manages themselves better comes in, buys up the company's assets, and fires the thing back up again. Yes, bankruptcy is some magic eraser to pain and problems. It's not like just the people that lost their company had a lot of pain. Also, whoever lended them the money that they owed experiences a lot of pain. But the fact of the matter is we're promoting this, you know, Fortune 500 style companies have really started to become pretty bad at abusing the generosity and frankly our ignorance as a society at the taxpayer level, and I'm including myself in that ignorance at times of what's really happening here. the problem we're facing here, in my opinion, with the bailing out these big companies is that they're buying their stocks back every time they have profits. So I referenced last week, how is it possible that a company like Delta or American Airlines or whoever needs bailout money when they've been on a 10 plus year economic growth trajectory, longest in modern history, and yet they had no money to survive any kind of a slowdown. It's because their profits through the folks that have been owning own the corporation, instead of investing that money in the form of cash, liquid cash assets to fall back on to get yourself through the tough times, they know that the federal government has become managed, and we as a society have become so ignorant of how this system really works that they use their profits to buy back stocks when their stock was cheap so that they grow their grow their overall net worth as an individual within that company, because no one knows more of the inside baseball of where those companies are going to go than the people that are running them and own them. And so this is just, you know, the unfortunate black eye of some people in business and what I consider to be underhanded, dishonest ways of running their companies. But regardless of all that, there's a lot of good stuff in it that, like you said, is very different from the stimulus package of the Great Recession back in 2008 and 2009 that actually is going to be a lot more beneficial in helping the working class, which is where you and I all are. We're in the working class. We're in the middle class. We're the ones that need really to be kept upright, because we're the ones that are being told to just stay home and do nothing. And so this was very well designed. I think it has a lot of great stuff put in it, both by Republicans and Democrats. And it's a great model to show that when you actually have everybody working together, you can actually create the best product that way.
Going to take a break on Inside Douglas County. More when we come back with State Senator Dallas Hurd. The interview of podcast after 1 at 541radio.com. Back in about 90 seconds with more of Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN. Inside Douglas County, 1249, News Radio 1240, KQEN, State Senator Dallas Hurd. We're talking about Oregon's response to COVID-19, also the federal stimulus package, and a number of related topics as well. And in the past week since we last talked, I've talked to several other lawmakers representing parts of the area. And one of the things that I've noticed in conversations with them is while the legislature, of course, is not meeting right now, you're spending a lot of time on conference calls, getting information and sort of interacting with others.
Oh, yeah. It's been 3 hours a day just on the phone on conference calls alone. We have the Oregon Health Authority call every day. We have the Senate Republican Caucus call. Today we have a Republican Caucus call with Congressman Greg Walden to discuss a lot of this stuff. It's just kind of non-ending.
And there was a talk at one point about a potential special session. What have you heard about that in the recent days?
So that's still very much in limbo. The governor is very much driving the bus right now. It's why I've continued to say we really need to be praying for our executive branch leaders. That'd be President Trump. And for us here in Oregon, that'd be Governor Brown. Regardless of, you know, Democrat versus Republican and all the partisanship and all the hurt feelings and nastiness of the past, right now we need to be praying for our elected leaders, especially Brown and Trump. They're driving the bus on most of this stuff, folks. I'm not overly pleased with our system of government giving so much concentrated power to so few people, but you know, as I tell a lot of folks all the time, reality is what it is. I have to evolve with it. I have to embrace it for what it is. If I want to change reality, that takes time and a lot of hard work, but I have to deal with it in real time for what it is. And right now, Governor Brown is the point person. She's the tip of the spear, and we need to be reaching out and, you know, emails, phone calls to her office. If you got questions, if you got concerns, if you got statements to be made, you know, just do it in a productive manner, but go ahead and send it to her. Make sure that she's hearing from you and her staff is hearing from you, because that does shape, fortunately, unfortunately, it does shape a lot of the direction that these executive orders go.
And while we've talked about the impacts on business, of this COVID-19 situation, there's really no area of our life that hasn't been affected by COVID-19 and the restrictions and all the things that have been put into place.
Yeah, you know, I mean, like right now, one of those major impacts, Kyle, for young families is the public education system. And so with the governor's executive order to basically, you know, close the school year for the rest of the year, which there's a lot of logic behind that. This virus is, like I said before, it's extremely infectious. And so it's very much what I would call, and some people call, it's a very stealth infectious kind of virus, disease, whatever you want to call it, because 86%, according to infectious disease researchers that I've been reading reports from and articles from, roughly 86% of us that will contract this virus as it's rolling through the world population are going to show zero symptoms to very, very minor symptoms. And so a lot of folks don't even realize they have it when they have it, or they think they have something else, allergies or just a mild cough or something. And so the problem with that is that if we do not continue to really intensify the choice, and I want to focus in on the choice as individuals to practice social distancing, we're not helping ourselves, we're not helping others. And we can minimize a lot of these really draconian measures that have been taken by government to basically just strip away our freedom and liberty to move about as we need to. Whether that's going to work or going to a park to stretch our legs or what have you, we're really not doing ourselves any favors if we do not practice the best practices of social distancing. My wife and I have chosen to employ a strategy of only one of us chooses to go to town for whatever we have to, grocery shopping, business-related stuff. The children stay home, our two sons, and either her or myself go to town just by ourselves. We also have employed the strategy of making sure we put a list together to try to make sure that we only go for whatever that is, groceries or otherwise, you know, 2 week chunks at a time to minimize our exposure both to others and us to them by going to town as little as possible. The school system. Right now, we're dealing with a lot of problems related to how the public school system is being managed. We have parents being told now that they have this huge amount of homework that's being sent home in some cases. Here in our house, we're no different, is being sent home, and we're being told that we have to, you know, basically teach and push our kids through the normal education process. Well, we're not educators. Furthermore, there's a lot of single parents out there, men and women, who still have jobs because they're part of the essential workforce service industries that are still having to go to work, who can't take their kids to daycare, who are then being told they got to spend several hours educating their young children. And then to top it all off, they're being told that their children's work will be graded. That's not going to work at all. And so I'm going to begin the work today because I didn't really realize it until last night that this was happening. As you can imagine, there's a thousand different things to track on this COVID-19 situation, but this is an important one. Families are already very stressed financially as well as socially. When you're being told you're not basically supposed to go anywhere, the stress just gets amped up. And I feel like things are starting to become a little too fear-driven to where people are not really thinking about any unintended consequences of some of this action. When you tell people they can't go to a boat ramp to fish, or they can't go to a trailhead out in the middle of nowhere to stretch their legs and they just have to stay home, but you still are needing to go to work so you can provide if you're in that kind of a job, and you have to educate your children when you're not an educator and you're already stressed and already exhausted, this is just nonsense. The public school system and the teachers union need to do a better job of stepping up to serve parents and children, because taxpayer dollars are being spent at hundreds of millions of dollars level in this state, and we're not even allowing the online education system to really ramp up when it needs to here. That door has been almost completely shut by the teachers union and folks in the governor's office thus far, but I'm going to continue to push back on that because there is no perfect solutions. There is limited resources, but this model right here that I'm hearing about on a growing basis starting from yesterday is just not going to work. It's nonsense. Before we start to run out of time here, I'd like to pivot towards something that I think would really be helpful for folks listening. If you're feeling like a lot of people are right now, the anxiety of not being able to get out and stretch your legs, the anxiety of fearing that you're going to go catch this virus or spread it to someone you love, I would highly encourage folks to get on Google or whatever search engine you use, go to the Wildlife Safaris website and look at the annual membership passes that are available. My wife and I have been investing in that annual membership for about the last 7 years, I believe it's been. And it's one of the greatest values you'll ever find in life. I think it's around $120 for a family for 1 year. and you're able to go to the wildlife safari literally as much as you want. You can go through the drive-through park with your whole family for $120 a year over and over and over. There's literally no limit. And when you think about social distancing being practiced, this is the perfect model, our local gem, the wildlife safari. You're in a car. They're not allowing anyone to go through the walk-through park or the gift shop or any of that kind of stuff right now because of social distancing practice. So you're literally just showing up there with your membership card. They wave you on through. You go have a nice family outing with the kids and everybody. Even if you don't have kids, it's great. You get to see God's creation, the most wonderful, majestic animals, and everybody gets to be safe. And I just encourage everybody, get on that Wildlife Safari website and check it out.
All right. State Senator Dallas Hurt, out of time for today. Thanks for being on the program.
Hey, thank you. Take care.
1257 at News Radio 1240 KQEN.
You've been listening to Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN. A daily look at the people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. The show will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it and let others who weren't listening live know about today's show. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications. Your home for Douglas County's news team. News Radio 1240 KQEN.